I guess that's not unusual, but I'm really in a dilemma.
Always am.
But more so here, because this is a place of beginnings and endings for me. And there's a knitting together with this spiritual community and this lampstand that's here. And the angels that abide here. And so I'm aware of there's things I can step into that are important to release. I'm also aware there's lots of stuff going on in different people, you're on different paces, so much different stuff going on. I know there's so much healing happening in the room, and there's a pull on me as a person and as someone who loves ministering to people to release healing over everyone individually. And that's cool, and maybe that will happen over. I mean, we've got tomorrow morning as well, so if you're really desperate and you weren't going to come, you can come. But it's not just that there's something of import. Can I use that old something of import, and in this now, and well, I have to release it. I mean, if you come here. And I may say some things. I've already just messed around with sentences. I'm probably worse at English than Donald Trump. Well, I thought it was a joke. Bless. I'm gonna say some stuff that possibly doesn't necessarily make sense to you. Please forgive me. I'm trying to release what is here for you guys. And I believe it does bring healing at a much deeper level than you think. Because most of the stuff that goes on in our lives, we're completely unaware of. And it takes a huge amount of moving forward and understanding to realize what happened to you. And so we don't understand why we wake up in a mood, feeling a certain thing. And it's only as you learn to walk with the Spirit, you realize there was stuff going on 3 days before that explains why you're feeling now and that sort of stuff. So, whoa. So when I'm here, there's something to connect with. If you're not from this church and you just come, you get sucked into that. It gets released over you. But it's a new season. And I'm not being, I say evangelistic, prophet-elastic. It's a new season for me, therefore must be for this house, if you have eyes to see. New season began for me about 4 years ago, when I was drawn into a heavenly lecture and shown what would happen in my life and 100 or so other people that were there at the lecture. And we were given a roadmap for where we would go and what we would experience and see. And that's coming to a conclude. That's coming to a close. So there must be, and the seasons always overlap. Have you noticed that? It's the ways of God. So as the old covenant was ending, did you notice that? The old covenant ended when Jesus rose from the dead. But it persisted for another 30 years until that fantastic scripture. I love the theology, the doctrine lives through there, that we have come to Zion. And it's too late. The heavens and the earth are being shaken. This is not a distant thing. The old closed. The old closed, AD 70. The old closed. New heavens, new earth. It's in process. And it's a new season. It's a new season. That's faith, though, isn't it? Faith says, well, it's too late. It's like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't stop it. That's what it feels like. It is, so saying it's a new season because it's a new season over us. We see things on the news, but that's already well old news. If you know, I mean, from the perspective, that's the thing. The higher you go in the heavens, the more you can see. Isn't that right? So the higher you, and I don't mean like that in a hierarchical, like I'm more important sort of way, but the more you expand, the more you can see. So you can even see the depths of Hades the higher you go. You notice that's what John can see. As he goes up higher, he can see everything, including Hades. Everything is exposed. So did you notice that he goes up several times? That he's in the spirit, then he goes up, and then he goes up again, and then he goes up again. We have to keep ascending. Enabled to bring back the right thing for this current season, though it's not just about bringing back, it's because that's where you live. Oh. See, I already don't even make sense to myself. So where was I? I don't know. New season. There's a new season over this house. New things available. Now, I'm not being evangelistic. It's new things. There's a new wave of revelation. There's new horses that are swept through this nation. I watch them. I'm in a lot in Germany, and I will be for still some while, but that's where I began this season. And I watched as the horses had shifted direction, and whoa. I watched this horse come in from the north, and you know it had galloped over the UK. Please pray. Don't stop praying for Brexit. But that's not where it's at anymore. That's old news. Where are you looking? We're somewhere else now. Other things going on in the heavens. You're called to interact with it. You're called to be part of it. There is something beautiful happening. Something beautiful. And as, of course, it always has been. I can't get that wrong, can I? It's so good. But there is something beautiful happening in that the spouse of the Lord is waking up. The spouse of the Lord is waking up. Let me release pure theology. The wedding supper is in progress. Oh, shut up. I know lots of this won't necessarily make earthly sense. But what it means is people are going to walk through people are going to walk through that door. They don't know why they're walking in. And they're going to get set free to a much higher level than we've seen before. Why? Because we're going to learn how to go to the dark places because we've ascended to a wider place so you can see where people are captive. So that where you cast out demons before and it keeps returning, you see where they're captive. We're going to set the captives free, the people with the shattered hearts. You're going to do that. You're going to heal and bind up and restore and bring back together the shattered, the shabbard hearts, the splintered hearts. You're going to pull back the splinters from places in the spirit realm that you didn't even know existed before, but you start to see and you go, right, we've come to get you back. Come back! And then that's totally different to casting demons out, because of course the demons have to fly, but they can't get back anymore because there's a realm of darkness that you've rescued the person out of. It's already happening in Europe, tastes of it. But there's something over here. I'm just going to waffle because I know it doesn't make sense, but it's prophetically releasing something because a previous shaking happened over these peoples because of Iceland, or initiated in Iceland with the volcano and with the first taste of a financial crash. This is coming from that direction, this new wave. I'll tell you what, it's coming from that direction. The focus will switch, you'll notice that over the next 5 years, will switch from Central Europe focus to North focus. Just write that down. Shoot me if I'm a false prophet. But that's the discussions that are going on. Why am I saying that? No particular reason other than saying you're in a new season. Wake up. We have to learn to rule. Now that's totally different. And I'm not, well, for a start, I've got us to really purify our theologies, because we've got some weird theologies going on about that. But there's something coming. Oh my goodness. And we will, there will be fresh revelation and understanding and a focus on the book of Revelation, like not before. It will open up. There'll be an understanding of what is going on with the seven churches. Oh my goodness, when I was in theology, boy, did that, the discussion on that stuff. Christ teaching us how to reign through those seven messages. Have you written to your angel yet, Nadia? Have you written? Whoa. You notice that it's a different sort of reigning than what have been the dregs of other theologies or stuff that comes in, like, because one church is reigning as they're being martyred. So, you know, some of you will lose your lives. You'll be thrown into prison. But they're reigning. They're overcoming. Yeah. So it's totally, it's not, it doesn't look on earth like it's like in the heaven. It's different. Yeah. It's enough said, other than you have to park what you think, what it is to be a king and rule. And I say king and I'm really stuck with this. I just really don't know how to deal with this gender thing when you say king. I mean everyone. Yeah. The trouble is if I say queen, it just doesn't quite sit right with me, and I don't know why. Maybe that's a problem with me. You need to pray for me. But there is, in Christ, there is no male or female. So in the spirit, that is not the focus, male or female. We're kings. We're royalty. We're called to rule. So there'll be a fresh understanding, like when Paul says to the Corinthians, you believe you're kings. And he's telling them that they're not, because they're so of the flesh. They're so, he says, you believe, and I wish you were, and I wish you did rule as kings, because then I could rule with you. He wasn't joking. He wasn't being sarcastic. We're royalty in this room. So, see, the thing is, if you go too quick here, you can feel the opposition to this and wanting to taint how we see this. This is the new season. We're going to be, there'll be revelation available. There'll be understanding, experiences, explaining how to move in a different level of authority than we've moved in before. Well, it's going quieter. Are you ready for that? So here's the dilemma. There's one of the dilemmas I face, because this is an extraordinary mind, internal spirit of your mind rewrite to operate in this, and a moving into different levels of the spirit realm than you've moved in before. And it's also a big ask. So stuff has to happen in you, in truth in the inner parts. Truth in the inner parts, to summarize, it has to happen deeper. Whoa. So which one do we go for first? Now I'm going to speak to you as mature, right? Wake up! I'm going to speak to you as mature. Mature! Come on! Excuse me, dribbling. Whoa. My goodness. The problem for some while ago, I had an angel come into my quiet time. A bit annoying. You don't want to be disrupted in your quiet time. But that's, no, he's a lovely, I like this guy. Man, has he looked after me in certain situations. And he pulled me around to the side of the house and he sat down with me and he talked about some of the people I was interacting with and he says, Paul, you're naive. Wake up. We're having to work hard to protect you. I felt bad. He said things like, why aren't you checking that? Because it would be rude. Wake up, Paul. Start acting like a king. Stop compromising with fear of man. It's time to shake you more, Paul. Now that's the start of a season of one. So I think if it started over me, it must start over you. Because this is the place of beginnings and endings where we got linked in the spirit. So it's on you. So you're going to have to wake up out of compromise of fear of man. It means that you can speak. Wow. It means you can remove the speck from people's eyes because you have removed the plank from yours. That's ruling. Wow, Shabalaite most. So, we're probably going to go out of here and you'll have nothing in your head about what I said because it won't make sense. But something is going on. The spinning's already started. There's two big dudes here and I'm trying to listen to their conversation behind me. It's too late. Gosh. You did so well, Eleanor. She was the wedge that cracked open the log of a new season here. Did you see it? When we had you up the front, Master, you were the wedge. Extraordinary. Well done. Good job running with it, Eleanor. Good job. It's going to get worse, but it's good job. It's going to get bigger. Whoa. Why rule? Why do this? Because this is what it's all about. Because you are one with Yahweh. And he's the only one who knows how to govern. The Satan doesn't. Whoa. He's the only one who knows how to govern. And we're one with him. We're bonded. We're one in spirit with him. We're that of that nature and that call, and it will come through us. So we better have gone deeper in the secret place, in the hidden places, to remove pride. Yes. Eh? You cannot rule with pride. It's not so much. You know, I don't want to emphasize it disqualifies you. It just means you can't see. You don't know how to do it. And unless it pulls you into deeper places in your heart and in the spirit, you can't see, so you can speculate what governing is. But until you're there, that you won't know what it is. And when you're there, you can, oh, that's what it looks like. Because it's certainly not hierarchical and it is clearly serving. But those are just words until you're there and you know, ah, that's what it is. It's what you're called to step into it. And then go, well, this is what it looks like. Ruling would be like Stephen standing and going, I see Jesus at the right hand standing. And the stones bounce off him. Yeah. But of course, the shaking in the heavenly realms through that. If you're looking at just a physical body being pummeled by stones, you've completely missed it because that's the diminishing thing. There's something else going, which is giving legal right for Saul to be pursued, which is giving legal right for the Gentiles to be opened up. I mean, gosh, all in that moment. Well, that's extraordinary, isn't it? That's different. That's different. Oh, whoa, shut up. And I can't say I know it. I don't know exactly what it looks like. I'm saying, come on. We have Elijah here to help us. We have Moses here to help us. We have Enoch here to help us. Wake up. Woo, something's coming. I'll tell you, these are the shakings that have gone on for me that must therefore trigger for you, I suspect. And that is, the Holy Spirit, through the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord spoke to me and said, we want to take you deeper, Paul, but we can't because you're too religious. Yeah, you think, really? I thought that. I thought, nah, I'm not religious. And he looked me in the eye. You do not understand the depths of this thing, Paul. Do you want to be shaken to the core? And then there's another core inside that. And another core inside that. Then he messes with your theology, doesn't he? I don't know if you noticed that, God. He just really... And then he doesn't... I don't know, it doesn't permit me to have a theology on something. It just says, shut up. When I try to go somewhere, quiet. Don't know what you're talking about, Paul. Stop linking that together. But it starts to demolish my understanding of certain... That's what happens, isn't it? When you're reading the scriptures and things hit you, it's basically old veils of how you think it is falling off of you. And that's why, I mean, the scriptures come alive, don't they, when you're starting to have veils removed. You're reading it like you've never read it before. It's like, whoa! Man, that just gets worse. That just gets bigger, more explosive. There's another wave coming through this house of that. You'll see things. There'll be teaching coming from the front here that you'll be thinking we wouldn't have got. A year ago, we would not have explored that. Boom! the religion is so comfy to hold on to because it's our security, isn't it? It really is our security. We know how things work. They're ordered. That is not Christianity. In fact, I don't even like that word, Christianity. It's not a Jesus lover. That's not like someone who's been warped into Yahweh. Little Christ? Wow. Sorry, this isn't a message, it's a prophetic event. It's already happening inside you. So, it's a big ask. So, are you ready for a big ask? Are you ready for Romans 12, 1, 2, 3? You think you know these things. Man, I've studied that. I've studied Romans for decades. I tell you, do I know the Greek. I could tell you the Hebrew behind the Greek that Paul would have been thinking of. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and goes... Shakes it. Whoa. Living sacrifice. We're going to experience what it is more and more to be a living sacrifice. I urge you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. That is, your body is your whole... When Paul uses body, soma, he means your whole being. He means your soul-body connection. As directed by your spirit. That whole part of you, offer it as a living sacrifice. He told me to go and watch a sacrifice. Have you ever watched an animal sacrifice? I'll tell you what, it shook me. Because I noticed this resistance in me. There's a resistance that I shouldn't be cruel to animals. It had to die while I watched it. It was uncomfortable in a deep, it was shaking me while I watched this sacrifice. Because I think that's part of it, the loss of what seems good to the world system. What seems kind. You do know that Jezebelic is about kind and compromise. So I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my, and God's unpacking what it, the more depths of it, of what it means, you know, to have your life blood poured out while you're still breathing. And that's, this is beautiful before God. We're so locked by death, we can't go there easily, eh? We're so bound by death, we think, oh, I don't want to go there. Come out of death. I mean, walk right through it. Walk right through it. You're not meant to be under death. So when they did a burnt offering, you can see this in Exodus 1, and I saw it like, oh my goodness, this is extraordinary. Excuse me for the graphic detail. But all the blood is drained, and then the head is removed. Your head is removed. This is you. So Paul is saying this. This is what he is meaning. He's saying this for you. We know Christ was the burnt offering. This is what it means for you. Your head will be removed. You will you will lose. Yeah, that's Western thinking. We think, you know, man, they didn't think their mind was in their head. They thought it was here. And maybe they're more right than us. Especially when the scientists find 144,000 neurons in your heart. So your head is removed. Your authority, your ability to rule is removed. All four limbs are removed. You are not able to do anything. All of this is sprinkled with blood and burnt. So you're not, the ability to move is gone. The ability to act with arms is gone. This is a living sacrifice. Paul's saying, this is you are meant to live for sacrifice. You're meant to be a sacrifice alive. So what happens in Exodus, that involves death, but you're meant to be living this moment. This is normal state. Normal state. You've lost the ability to independently act. Totally at his mercy. Then cut open down the middle. Pulled apart. Kidneys, seat of the deep emotions. Intestine. All the insides removed and washed. Truth in the inner parts. Everything exposed and washed with washed with the word. So washed with the vibrational righteousness of Yeshua. So he's singing his righteousness into your inner being. So you're, that's what righteousness is. Righteousness is all the pathways within your insides, all the orbits within your inside lining up with him. That's righteousness. So you have only pathways within you, only thoughts and feelings that are him-like. That's right. That's what righteousness is. And you've been put into Christ, so that righteousness is birthing in you, into your being. So that you're washed, all inside. And then the whole thing is set on fire. And you know what being set on fire means? Do you? It means you enter the heavens. When all that is done, you know, change state. Your molecules are broken down and you become vapor. You enter the heavens because that's now as a living sacrifice. With all my insides washed, righteousness in me, now I can be in the heavens, operating from there. You notice the angels bring incense, the prayers as incense, burnt, therefore go to the heavens. This is you. This is what you meant. It's meant to be that you're a burning one. It means heaven. Heaven's frequencies are in you. Because that's what fire is. It's the increase of frequency of vibration of your molecules and of your atoms so that you split apart into vapor. So you're vibrating at a completely different frequency. You're heavenly. This is you. And that, this is required. This is normal. This is you. This is not optional, like some people can have this and some not. This is you, normal. And this is the season that I think you're walking into. Well, it's too late, actually. It's already here. So it's already been going on. There'll be shaking. So this isn't just about healing. It's Pantea la Busta Santea Stabo. Whoa. Hey. So it's not just you being healed. This is a new phase. You're not being healed so you can live a good life and be happy with your life. This is where you lose the focus on whether you're happy in life or not. Yes. That's joy. Now that is joy. Being free of the burden. Free of the burden of having to be what the world says you should be. That's no longer conformed. You're free because you were never meant to live under the burden of happiness like that. Oh, you're a spirit on fire. Whoa. And so, of course, that's a different level of frequency authority for dealing with depression, which is totally needed because there are many people trapped in prisons in the spirit realm who you need to go and rescue. And in the meanwhile, some of us, need to get out of those prisons because your rescuer's here knocking on the door saying you should not be in the gates of Hades. You should not be at the grave. You should not be in the place of forgottenness. You should not be in these places. Come out! Come out! He's here to pull you out. Whoa. And Jesus healed people with a word. He holed them. He made them whole. He reshabbed them. He splinter reversed them with a word. With a word. With a vibration. Oh. With a, and it's not the English, is it? And it's not the Aramaic he would have said. It's not the whole. It's the substance in the words. Because faith is the substance. It's the substance. That's how he spoke the worlds into being. He framed them and filled them with the substance of who he is. Faith is you drinking the substance. So of course it's too late. It's nothing you generate. It's like, Jesus! And people see Jesus when you say it. Where am I? What was... It's like when I'm on the, I have to say it as a, it's like when I'm on the Great Western Railway train going back to Taunton, and then you get the urge to just enter the heavens and worship aloud as you do. So there I am with on the table with everyone staring at me, and you feel the conformity of the world that you don't do this because God is not on trains. God is not on trains. God is not on trains. That's the lie, isn't it? That this is a different place. This is a gate of Sheol. This is Hades. God's not here. And there you are in the gate of Hades on the train. Because these are real spiritual places, not geographic. They're other-realmed, connected to Satan's thinking. And you're there in the middle of it. So there I'm in the middle of it going, whoa, Yahweh, oh, Jesus. And of course the reaction, because those who are in prison and don't want to come out, freak out. The demons freak out, but the hungry cry. I had one girl in front of me, she's weeping, and she's going, what is that? I'm going, it's Jesus. And she's going, oh, and everyone, there's guys at the back swearing at me. And then it's funny how just, you know, and then I settled back into my body, and then I just got on with reading a book, and everyone acts as if nothing could happen, because that's so British, isn't it? We just ignore it. That's so the system. So hear me right. Don't misquote me. Don't misunderstand this. You don't need healing. You need living sacrifice. That is healing. That is healing. This is not... Oh, something's going to shift in the church in the West. We're going to shake off philosophy, but who's ready for that? Yes. Wow. Because this goes way deeper than philosophy and psychology. This goes way deeper. Psychological understanding. This goes way deeper than that. And who's crazy enough to allow it to work out in their lives? You are. You are. It's coming. The world won't understand you. Less and less. Why? How come you could interact with that person and they're different? And we've done stuff for ages and they're not. Yeah. What is that? You wouldn't understand it. We want to understand it. Well, of course, I can use words. It's Yeshua. Yeah, but how does that work? What did you do? Oh, it's another realm. Not that they will ask that. They're more likely to get angry with us. It's coming. Do we want to move in it? It's too late. You're going to have to. It's in the room. I was teaching on a school just last week, and the back row, entire back row of the students, they wanted to murder me. And I'm speaking about just getting free and facing stuff and looking into it and going into the depths of you with the Holy Spirit. And literally, they all wanted to murder me. One girl almost ran up with a knife. And she didn't... I mean, these are nice Christians. I mean, you don't get on a DTS without being a nice Christian. I mean... They've got to have something. And this is lovely, lovely people. Lovely, lovely woman. Girl, she is lovely. She wanted to murder me. She seriously wanted to murder me. She felt she had to protect the rest of the people from me. This will increase. Because that will be the lie, wouldn't it, from the enemy? You need to be kind. He's not being kind. Get him out of the way. Murder him. Somehow that makes logical sense in the enemy's territory. Your fulfillment is in living sacrifice. Do you know why you're here? People talk about, have you fulfilled your destiny? Guys, put your destiny on the altar and have his. You can have a destiny if you like. There's a much better one. Get caught up with him. It's here. Now I'm saying these things, and then I'm trusting. I know it's doing something in you. It may take several weeks to work out, but you'll be having a quiet time, and something will hit you. Something will explode, because I'm opening your eyes right now. I don't know whether you're aware of it. I'm opening your eyes in the spirit realm, because once you see, you can become. Once you see, you can become. And the spirit realm is so much wider than you've thought so far. It always is. There's more. There's an expansion going on. And you need authority and understanding your rulership role to operate in that. And it's here. And you will see horrors of the enemy. You will. That's normal. Fear has to go. That's normal. John saw the lot. He saw the New Jerusalem while he's seeing the beast. What's that? He sees the beast come out of the sea, the beast come out of the land, and then the New Jerusalem coming down. What? Because we see the whole thing of what is going on. See? And this will break in. It will break into your dreams and your thinking. And I don't know how it'll specifically break in on you, but it will. If you're part of this house, and if you came into this meeting, you got sucked into it. Because it's happening, there is a new season. An old season is finishing, and a new season is beginning over this people's. I can't see that God is as... They don't seem to be as fussed about political boundaries in the heavens as we are. It's peoples. It's peoples. Whoa. And... You will judge angels. Do you know what that means? Of course, this isn't being recorded and putting out on the internet, is it? So someone can make a theology out of what I say and write a book on it. I'm so learning. I so have people and angels sit with me almost daily and explain to me what I don't understand and what it really means. And I shiver as revelation hits me like, oh. We have to undo a misunderstanding in our heads about judgment. You're called to judge. You're called to judge. And that's the problem with English, and because we're not called to criticize. That's totally different, isn't it? But so, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not judging. That's not. See, justice is a positive thing. Is the God of justice. That is the straightening of what is crooked. That's what he does. He straightens what has got out of shape. That's justice. That's good, isn't it? You want God to judge you. Oh, we want him. We want him to come as a consuming fire and judge us. Because that's good, but yet somehow triggered theology. Says, no, that's bad, that's scary. No, it's good. Walk right into it. He wants to realign you on the inside, set you on fire. You're meant to be on fire. You're meant to be heaven. Heaven, like you don't fit here, but you're walking here. And you have to walk in, you interact. But you don't fit here, and that's okay. That's normal because you're an alien. So, what was I saying? You judge. That is to discern and make a distinction on what that's wrong. That's out. Stop. That's good. Yes. Prosper. That's what we're called to do. What you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. What you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. You judge. That's what kings do. You come and say, yes, no, get off, more. That's your role. So, we'll judge angels. So the whole interaction with angels will shift. Not because they've changed, but because we get understanding. Because there has to be more cooperation. There has to be. That is what is coming. Cooperation. Where you know what their role is and you know what your role is and you know how to work together, because a lot of them are staring at us, staring, and it seems like they're silent and staring because we don't know how to interact, relate, understand, listen. That's coming. And this is not about going in and getting a book on it. It's about experiencing it, learning it. Letting yourself become a living sacrifice, your heart being purified so you can interact, so you can learn, so you can be taught. And that, well, Shabba. Are you still awake? I know this is a, you've got it, haven't you? This isn't a message. I know what my metron is. Do you know what your realm is? Yeah. You have to know, and you will have to increasingly know what your metron, your realm is that you operate in. Because otherwise you'll put your foot in the wrong realm and you'll get slapped. You'll get burnt if we start to move at this level. But when you know what your metron is, you can walk in that with authority, because this is where I am called to be. I am supposed to input here. Now then you have a different authority, because you're standing on, this is my mandate, this is my scroll, this is what I'm supposed to do. That creates a different, we're going to have to learn it. You're going to have to learn it. We all have different metrons. We all have, excuse me using the Greek, I don't know what else to use, because the English is so rubbish of the translations of that. Your lot, your realm, your governance. And if somebody else is doing something that I might speculate is not good, but it's not in my governance, I shut up. Because that's not my governance. That is crucial. You see, he's going to teach it. He's going to teach us this stuff. And we have to, because this is a higher level of interaction. And you might be there sitting there, but I don't see angels, I don't. I'm not aware of stuff. Wow. Expand. You have eyes to see. It is not the same as seeing with these eyeballs. It is a much deeper realm, and you're called to learn how to live in ecstasis. You're meant to access it. So open up. Stretch. Expand. Whoa. So... It's complicated. I'm having to listen. Let me throw out some stuff, what this will mean. For instance, we're going to know how to deal with a different level of schemes of the enemy. And that's funny, we have a theology to avoid knowing about the schemes of the enemy. What? The gates, The gates of Hades cannot withstand the onslaught of the ecclesia. So the expansion of the kingdom has direct connection with the gates of Hades losing. Do you see that? So, because we're rescuing people. And that might also not just be physical, there might be cosmic rescuing going on. Because there is darkness in the spirit realms, and we're meant to reveal the wisdom of God in the spirit realms. Wow. So, Shuffle. I know, are you confused? This is extremely hard to follow. In my head, let I don't know how you're doing in your head. But you, we're here to activate some of this for you. If it hasn't started already, it starts now for many of you. To activate this, come out of the prison of darkness where you can't see, where you don't have understanding about what is happening in this. The prison door is open. You can start to see. You can start to understand. You can be pulled into a deeper level of spiritual awareness so you understand what is going on. That's what I was going to say. Wow. This. For instance, one of the resistances in me is, as you increase into this, is you're becoming proud. You're becoming arrogant. You're becoming spiritually proud. That's a change of assault. That's a change of resistance, because that doesn't, if you're getting that resistance, that's cool. Because you've started to expand. And that requires a different response. It requires a pure kingly response. Because if you defend yourself against pride, you've just lost because you've been proud. It requires a totally different response. And if you're still locked into wrestling with that stuff, then you won't even know what you're wrestling with. You'll think you're wrestling with yourself and your own pride. Because that's what it tries to do. It tries to identify the pride as yours and get you to own it, so you live from it. So it stands in front of you and goes, you're proud. There is no answer to that. There's a standing. You stand. And you realize that it has had to come to you because you are in authority. So you're the one holding court, and it has to come to you. And that's why it comes. Because you're the one in authority. If you're under the pressure, it's because you're in authority. Yeah, that's the mind game the enemy loves to play. Your life is falling apart. No, it's just I'm in a new realm of authority, and here's the onslaught to try and get me out of this. Until I overcome. Till I overcome, which is the letters to the churches, overcoming, learning how to rule. Shabala ding dong. So that those schemes will come to you. The mind games of the enemy will come to you. We have to learn a whole another layer of how to operate and operate in our minds and beings as kings. It's not just, that's the thing when we talk about renewal of the mind. Again, our understanding, the way we think, we immediately go into your thinking. It's not your thinking, it's your thinking. You think with your whole being. That is the Greek as well, but it's more than even just Greek. It's more than even Hebraic thinking. It's just is. It's the way you are, the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts, the deep stuff. All of that stuff has to get renewed so that you respond differently, so then you see. So what you see at the end of Romans 1, 2, and 3, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, is that then by the end of it, you can now test and demonstrate and approve and judge the will of God, the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. Now I can see and now I can judge. Yes, no. This is you. Oh, this is you. Shabalabakuta, this is you. You're extraordinary. And I don't think we realize what at all. I mean, I experience some of it. I can feel the weight of who you are. You think you're having a worship meeting? I can feel it while I'm in Germany. Of course, we're bonded. So that's why that increases it, because if someone is in your heart, you can access them. But boy, you shake stuff. And it's got nothing to do with the size of the company. Nothing. No, nothing. And that's not evangelistic. Nothing to do with it. It's who's called to be together. What metron have they been given, and are they operating in it? So there'll be one of the things we'll lay down is the need to be big. What is that? Of course there will be big. Why do we need to generate big? What is that about? It's Jezebelic compromise, shake off. It's doctrine of Balaam, which is money. Shake off. There is a pure way to think of this. And we need to operate there. We need to get there. Stuff needs to be shaken out of us. So the Holy Spirit shook me, and I'm sure I've said this story here before. He said to me, Paul, I want you to stop speaking for 6 months to test me, because you rely on honorariums. You've been in YWAM too long. No, that's not. It's like I was a bad YWAMer. I kind of thought I really wanted to live on what was paid to me. He said, stop speaking for 6 months, and I'll give you more money than if you spoke. Do you believe me? I said, no. Truth in the inner parts. And I could feel it in my being. I went, in my head I went, yes. In my heart I'm going, no. No, no. I don't believe that. And he said, well, test me on this. So that's an invitation to do it anyway, whether you believe it or not. It's a test. So I said, okay, I'll test you. So I didn't speak for 6 months. It caused deep panic in my life. All sorts of stuff was being shaken as the months went on because of my fear of lack of provision. Got to the end of the 6 months, still no money had come in. So the 6 months end, and I have an invite to a small church in the middle of the UK somewhere, hidden away. About 15 people. And they give me a check. Oh my goodness. 15 people, and they give me a check, and it was more than I could have earned in 6 months. And I opened it and I said, are you sure you can do this? And they said, the Lord told us to give you this. You better receive it. And he said, Paul, the less you speak, the more I'll give you. Hear the wisdom in that. It's deep layer wisdom. So therefore, do I speak less to get more money? Get it? The less you speak, the more I'll give you. It's been my proof. So now I say to people, they say to me, how much should we pay you? I said, you're welcome to give me whatever the Lord tells you. Don't worry. If you haven't got anything, don't give me anything, because I'll get blessed. In fact, the less you give me, the more I'll get blessed. The more you give me, the more you get blessed. I know it's true. Now, we have to come above mammon. Well, I don't know what to do here other than say, I guess we'll have to continue this tomorrow. But there's something to release. So before most of us probably have to leave, hold on. If you want to process in your heart, in your whole being, not just your head, don't be evangelistic. If you want to be mature, that's if you want to go more into maturity. That's the trouble. If I say mature, then I'm not saying you're immature. I'll leave that to God. But if you want, which, hey, guess what? Simple stuff, what maturity is like, end of comparison. No more comparison. With who? If you haven't got comparison, you can't have insignificance. So it's immature to have comparison. So this is not just healing of it, it's like death to it. Whoa! So it's like Paul's definition. Have you read Paul's definition of maturity at the end of 1 Corinthians 3? I mean, have you read it? It's a bit. It's one of those bits I'm sure, like me, you just blank out. Because it's so extraordinary. He says, why are you comparing? You have everything. Do you not know you have everything? Life and death is yours. Do you know death is yours? Do you know death is yours? Life is yours. Everything is yours. It's all to be handed to you. Do not realize that. Well, do you know the depth of truth in the inner parts needed to handle that? And do you know that depth is coming for you? It's not like you're going to have to religiously cut yourself for the rest. It's coming. It's by His grace He will pour it out on a weak bride. It's not by our own effort. I look at the church and I go, no way, God. No way, how can you do this? Where's the ecclesia coming from? And then you read Psalm 68. On His dove company, He will release everything they need when they were in desperation and didn't think they could have anything. So if you want it, why don't you come up and walk over this carpet? Because this carpet, I don't know how long it's been here, but there's something on it. So if you want maturity, and if you've got to fly, if you've got to get out quick and get home, because you've got, I don't know, babysitters or whatever, come up quick if you want it. But check your heart. Do you want maturity? Now, I'm assuming that just about everyone in this room is going to say, yeah, they want it. But if you don't, that's utterly fine. But if you do, just process it and get it in your being. So that means you feel it. You feel the fear of it. It's a good thing. You were made for fear. fear of the Lord. Yes. So anything else is a pale imitation. And there's an idolatry. You're meant to be terrified of the Lord. Wow, it's beautiful. So terror is beautiful. And when it's beautiful, it's like, whoa, he's so big. So get that, like, whoa, trembling feeling as much as you can in your heart of what you might be saying yes to, and walk over this carpet. Maybe we should go one way to the other, this side to this side. Otherwise, we'll all collide in the middle.